Good afternoon, everyone.
Good afternoon, evening.
Hey, good.
That's right. That's right. How's everybody feeling today?
Fantastic.
Great.
Good. Good. Is everybody trying to drop the extra few pounds they put on from Thanksgiving like I am?
Nope, no extra pounds.
No comment.
No, nobody put anything on. Yeah, no comment. That's the right answer. Well,
Christmas
good.
Baking.
Nice to have you back.
Christmas baking that will do me in.
Oh, really?
Yep.
Well, we all have our kryptonite, don't we?
We do. I was lucky this Thanksgiving. My relative who hosts it decided to cook more of it this time because she wanted to try some new recipes.
Mm-hmm.
And actually, they weren't very good, so I didn't eat as much.
Oh, that'll help, yeah.
It was wonderful. I loved it.
Well, however you got to do it. Well, let's go ahead and get started, everybody. Nice to have you aboard. I know we got a few of you on the line here. I have a secret way of telling that you're actually there. And we're going to get started. It is December 4th. We took last week off for Thanksgiving, and you're all back in the saddle again, ready to go. And we have some more information to cover today. However, before we do that, I just want to apologize to everybody. If you've been trying to get a hold of us at the office, it's been a little difficult over the last week or so as we've been moving and, you know, getting phones from one place to another. And, you know, there are definitely cracks for things to fall through. So just email me, Steve at Persuasion Institute, if you've had trouble getting a hold of somebody about something, and I'd be happy to do what I can to solve whatever needs to be solved. And with that, do we have any comments or questions on anything in particular before we get started on today's information? Okay. Everybody's still full from Thanksgiving then? Let's get into the information here, okay? Last couple of weeks, you know, if you remember, before Thanksgiving, Kurt was on and talked about self-esteem, pride, ego, ingratiation, all very valuable techniques. We are going to talk about something that's a little more basic today, and just about every sales book out there is going to talk about it. And, you know, there's different schools of thoughts on how to do it and how to you know, initiate this part of persuasion. All right, we're going to talk about the joyous topic of objections. All right, and some of you are already pros at this, but it's always good to have a refresher. And I'll explain that. I'll explain why, because, you know, human nature, you know, it's easy for us to fall into some old habits when it comes to solving objections. And this is, for anybody's reference that wants to get this out, this would be in the chapter on the law of involvement in maximum influence or magnetic persuasion. So, solving objections, we need to clarify a couple of things first. All right? There's two kinds of objections. Anybody know what they are? Anybody? You being shy?
Oh, I'm just guessing a rational objection and an emotional objection.
Okay. That's
a
not
good
exactly
guess.
How it phrased it, but I think you get an A minus. Okay. That's very, very close.
Which,
you know,
chapter
we
did you say?
I'm this
sorry,
is the law of involvement.
Okay, thanks.
Law of involvement, yeah.
Thanks.
So okay, yeah, emotional objection and rational objection. That's pretty dang close. Let's call them knee-jerk reactions and genuine concerns.
Okay,
so it would be possible for a genuine concern to be emotional.
Emotional, yeah.
Yeah, and a knee-jerk reaction to be logical. However, that's a pretty good answer there. So when you're thinking about solving objections, you got to ask yourself, well, which kind am I getting? Are these all knee-jerk reactions, or do people have genuine concerns for me? Because the process to solve them would be different depending on what it is. If you remember, we talked, it was like a month ago, about inoculation and how you get over it. Actually, it was more like 2 months ago. And this is how you get over objections before they happen. if you're getting knee-jerk reactions, you need to listen to or review your notes on inoculation. Right? For example, a telemarketer calls you during dinner. What's your instinct? What's your knee-jerk reaction to that?
Hang up.
Wrong time.
Wrong time. Yeah. So, a telemarketer who's wanting to inoculate would do so in the first 10 seconds of the conversation with you, or just not call during dinner at all. That's preparing for an objection that you know you're going to get no matter what. Okay? Now, and that's, you know, like I said, that's what we did 2 months ago, 2.5 months ago. We're going to talk about the ones now where somebody in the middle of your conversation says, well, that sounds pretty great, but I just don't think I have the money. Well, that sounds really good, but I need to talk to, you know, my advisor about that. Okay? There were you, and here's a general rule. Most of the time, if somebody hasn't heard anything about your product and they object, that's a knee-jerk reaction. How do they know if they're interested or not if they don't even know anything about it? Right? That would be a knee-jerk. Now, there are certain things about certain products that, even though they do know a little bit, they'll have a knee-jerk reaction. You take MLM, for example. People start finding out you're talking about MLM, and bam, the pyramid, or the do I have to talk to my friends, those are knee-jerk reactions that come flying out. And you would need to inoculate against those as well. But we're assuming from this point forward that you've had an intelligent conversation with the person. You're in the neighborhood of closing the deal, or you're at least moving that direction. And this, we would now be in the territory of genuine concerns instead of knee-jerk reactions. And Kurt gives a good step-by-step process for doing this. We'll go over it real quick and give you some pointers on each one here, because like I said, it is in the law of involvement. If you're coming out of maximum influence, it's on page 148. If you're in the magnetic persuasion binder, that's got a bunch more info in it than maximum influence, but I can probably find a page number for you here if you hang tight.
Yeah, 157 is the law of involvement, but I haven't quite found where you are yet in it.
Okay, I got to the chapter here. Let me help you guys out and give you a page number. 1 second. I'm close. I'm getting warm. Okay, page 174.
76, okay, 174.
And it's a section entitled Loving Objections.
Mm-hmm.
And somebody remember 174, because I'm going to forget it here in a second. If somebody asks, I won't know. Okay, here we go. The first step that you guys need to consider is very important. All right? It is to consider whether the objection is something that you can even solve in the first place. Okay? And I would add to that whether the objection is something that you even want to solve in the first place. I've got a business I run on the side where I know that there are certain objections that if I get, I can solve them. But that person's going to be such a big pain in the butt later that I don't even want to. Okay? Hey, you need to decide that. You don't have to take absolutely every sale. You don't have to resolve every objection. In fact, it gives you good posture and good allure, like we were talking about in scarcity, to not be willing on some things to just say, well, you know, if that's a big concern for you, I'm not quite sure that this is right for you. You'd be surprised how many times you see people backpedaling. They're so used to salespeople, they're so used to persuaders begging for absolutely every single sale. When you do that, it just jars the system, and they want the product more. It's that whole scarcity thing. Last night I was working with an automated phone service, and I had to write out a little script, and I'd send it to this service, and they'd have some female voice record the phone menu, right? And you could listen to like 10 different voices, and on one of them, you know, the voice name I think her name was Camille or something. It said, click here to listen to a sample of Camille. And then in red below there it said, please note that recordings from Camille can only be fulfilled within 5 to 7 business days. So which one did I want, right? It was the one that they were scared of. It looked like there was more demand for it. And that's the same thing with the, you know, when we do those objections, we get that scarcity and we get that allure. I got a little off topic there, but is the objection something you can solve or want to solve? Okay. Number two, let your prospect state the objection. Okay. They need to get it all out. Now, granted, 99% of the time when they start talking and they mention a certain thing, you know what they're going to say, right? You know what their objection is going to be. However, letting them get it all out isn't so much to make sure you understand it. That's a big part of it. But they need to say it. The whole thing needs to come out of their mouth for them to feel validated and like they've participated in the process. If they don't feel understood, then they're not going to do business with you. And for them to feel understood, they need to get it all out of their mouth. Okay. So wait patiently, let them say it, help them get through it before you jump in and say, "You know, I think I know where you're going with that." And okay. Number three, you want them to restate the key points. Now, this is pretty crucial because it's going to become clearer in both of your minds at this point. But what happens right now is a lot of times you'll get them to backpedal as well. Some objections are just plain silly, aren't they? I mean, they really aren't. They really don't matter in the grand scheme of doing business with you. And so when you ask them to repeat it or you repeat it to them, so you're concerned about such and such. Is that right? And they have to think about it and say, yeah, but now that I hear it out loud, or well, now that if you put it like that, I guess I could see, right? In all of his books, Dr. Stephen R. Covey, you know, talks about the principle of seek first to understand. And when people feel understood, you can go miles farther with them. Even if you don't agree, even if they know you don't agree with where they're at, if they feel like you at least understand, you can be civil to one another. This particular point is very important in negotiation. Have them restate the key points. Okay? You want to compliment them on the objection. Remember when we talked about personality types a while back? White personalities especially are very reluctant to object. They feel like it's going to disturb the peace. Remember how they want everything to be okay? And they just expect a fight. They expect a problem when they talk about objections. And the other personalities will be reluctant to do this as well. They don't want to bring that kind of stuff up. A little easier for reds and yellows, but it doesn't mean they like doing it. Okay? So compliment them. Well, I'm glad you asked that. Then use a little of what Kurt talked about last time, use ingratiation. I'm glad you asked that. It shows that you're an intelligent business person if you're thinking about those kinds of things. Let's talk about it. So they know it's okay to keep a dialogue with you and keep things open. Number five, this is pretty easy. You all have learned this by now, to stay calm, okay? Does it no good to get riled up during objections? However, there's some personality types that do tend to struggle with this. A lot of times yellows do, okay? Try not to get fired up. Just because they objected, they didn't call you an idiot. They have a genuine question or concern. So stay calm. We don't want to be arrogant or condescending. All right, I've seen this a lot, you know. Why would anybody think that? Or why would somebody do this? Why would they think this or do that? That's just stupid. You got to give them some room to save face. If you back them into a corner, they're never going to realize on their own that the objection was dumb, and that's what magnetic persuasion is. We want people realizing on their own that what you've got to offer is the best option. And if you back them into a corner, are they going to be able to do that?
Nope.
Not a chance. That's, you know, that quote, a man convinced against his will is of the same opinion still, right? So don't be arrogant or condescending. You're complimenting on them on it. You're not thinking less of it. And if it gets to be an issue or an objection that you just can't resolve, you just can't get past with them, just use the set-aside technique. Just let them know, okay, well, we've obviously got a little bit of ground to cover there, and that's okay. I don't mind. Setting that aside, where else are we at with this? They don't have to be 100% in love with your product to do business with you. Okay? You can settle aside a lot of these objections, and people are going to be okay with it. Okay? Those are the steps to solving objections. Okay? And remember, I'm going to give you three questions to ask, and Brian Tracy talks about this in some of his books. Okay? When in doubt on an objection, if they ask you something just absolutely crazy out there, you've never heard it before, ask a question. I like three questions. I like, what do you mean? Why do you say that? And can you elaborate on that? Here's kind of an interesting story I had. This is actually something that happened at the Persuasion Institute. A client had come aboard, and they had some concerns. They said, well, I talked to somebody that did your program and didn't get any results. Right? Well, you can say, well, I can assure you it's all based on scientific research, and you know what? If you apply the principles, you're going to be successful no matter what, because, you know, the studies don't lie. You can feed them all that stuff. Right? But when they say something like, isn't there something underneath that we got to get to? Oh, definitely. Definitely. Well, I won't give you all the hairy details, but I asked the person, well, can you elaborate on that? What do you mean? Well, I talked to a guy, and she, you know, tells me a story about some guy from 3 years ago or something that tried one of the products and didn't have any success. And I said, you know, what company was he from? And she gives me the name of this company, and it turns out, unbeknownst to her, that at the time the guy was using our product, the company owners of the company he was a member of, it was a debt reduction company, were arrested by the FBI and had criminal and civil charges filed on them from the SEC. And the company went defunct. Now, I stand by our product, but if that happens to your company, there's a limited amount that we can do for you, okay? There's the FBI is tough to persuade when they get a bee in their bonnet. And so by talking it through, so what do you mean? Why do you say that? You can whittle it down to an issue that's very solvable. And when I explain this to her, there's not a problem anymore. So that's kind of an example of it. Because when they give you these weird objections, you're not quite sure where it comes from. What do you mean? Why do you say that? Can you elaborate on that? Ingrain those in your mind. Print them out on a piece of paper. Put them by your computer. Because those three questions alone, if you make it a goal to ask that at least once during every persuasion encounter, you'll be quite surprised at how much better your closings are going. how much better of a persuader you're becoming. Because it's just training you to ask the questions. It's training you to get all the relevant information out of them. And that has a way of just, you know, diffusing all the objections anyway. Because remember, we went over the steps on solving objections, but it's just like what Dr. Covey says. Seek first to understand. When the prospect feels understood by you, you understand where they're coming from, what their concerns are, and what they want. It's just real hard for them to not do business with you. So if you're getting all those objections, they don't feel understood. They don't feel connected with on that level. Does that make sense?
Yep.
Okay, great. Does anybody have any questions, examples, or ideas that have kind of popped up in your mind as we've been talking about this?
Well, as a homeopathic veterinarian, this is Christina from Baltimore, it's something that I do all the time in my practice, and I need to make sure I extend it into my sales, because in practice, I always focus on the person, have the person tell me about the current problem first, and I let them talk without interrupting them. And then I say, now, I know you're really interested and focused on that, but we need to look at everything else as well, so I'm going to be asking you to talk about some other, you know, some past problems. And so it really is that, and often people are not wanting to do something, but by listening well and letting them talk, it makes a huge difference. And I often do say, people feel foolish often about things they've done. And so I'll say things like, you know, I'm really glad you told me that. It, you know, that could be uncomfortable to say, and that makes a big difference to say that. So those are some that I do use.
You made some very valid points, Christina. And we think, if we look at that, you know, you're a veterinarian, why would we hear them out completely? Well, it's because we have to arrive at a diagnosis here.
Mm-hmm.
You know, it can be life or death. And if you don't understand the problem completely, how are you going to fix it? And so why should we treat our business any differently, right? And you taking that mindset that you have in play with, you know, as a veterinarian and putting it into play with your sales is exactly what needs to be done.
Right.
Great. Good comment. Thank you. I heard somebody else.
Hey, Steve. Dave in Daytona.
Hey, Dave in Daytona. How you doing?
Good, sir. How are you? My comment is that when I'm on these conversations with people, I'll make little notes so I have that information in front of me, because sometimes I'll go into a long diatribe of whatever. So I'll make little notes identifying those factors that they have. And sometimes if the conversation goes too long, because I'm in direct sales, and I find that they're kind of weak-minded, they're not ready to go after listening to this, then I will cut them off and just say, realize that they're not salvageable, or I don't want to work with this person. But I find the fact that if I do make little notes and about their objections, you know, their points, then I can visually go back and recall very quickly what their objections were and try to address those individually.
Good points. Good points, and that a lot of times allows you to kind of inoculate on the fly, right? If you're listening to somebody, you can tell what kinds of objections that they're probably going to have, and you can cut those off and solve them before they even get a chance to verbalize them.
Exactly.
Great. Great. Any other comments or questions tonight? Okay. Well, then you all have my email address, steve@persuasioninstitute.com. Feel free to contact me there if there's anything I can do for you. And we will be back on here same time, same channel next week. We'll get you that. I don't think we got a reminder out this week. I apologize, but we'll get one out next week that the coaching call is coming up. And we look forward to having you on the line then.
Steve, one quick question.
Yeah, go ahead.
Yeah, one quick question. A lot of people, like I'm a big Facebook guy, and a lot of people have these teleseminars. right? And I don't actually have my own teleseminar just yet, but we do a business presentation for my organization that I work with. I was thinking, if I refer to that business presentation as a teleseminar, it comes across a lot better than a business presentation that's not being sold something. Is it fair to use that phrase, teleseminar? We have a 15-minute teleseminar tonight at 8. I'd like you to join me. As opposed to saying, I'd like to invite you to our business presentation. Oh, no, I'm not interested.
You could even call it an informational teleseminar.
Okay, great.
And that's because you notice everybody's going way of the recorded message these days because people don't want to talk to somebody.
Right.
But I don't think I'd go that far knowing what I know about your business. But, yeah, an informational teleseminar where we'll give some good facts and such about whatever, and that way they feel less threatened. I'm just going to hear information, you know.
Right, because when I say business presentation, the underlying comment is, what are they trying to sell me?
Yeah, I'm going to get pitched.
Right, whereas if I say an informational teleseminar, that sounds interesting. Like it's a
sweet. Yeah, I think that's better verbal packaging for your purposes.
Okay, great. Thank you so much.
You're welcome. You're welcome.
Yeah.
Okay, anybody else? Okay. Well, then we're going to call it a night. Shoot me an email if you have any comments or questions that you'd like to make off the line, and we'll arrange a time to visit. Everybody have a good week, and we'll talk to you next week.
Thank you so much, Steve.
Bye.
Good night.